Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Do you have family traditions, especially around the holidays, that that you like to keep? Maybe some that have faded away you want to bring back this year? What role do family traditions have in the life and faith of each generation of children, of grandchildren, of parents? What role do those traditions have in nurturing faith and also in strengthening the family? Joining us in studio today, Kay Meyer, founder and president of Family Shield Ministries. Kay, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I always love having you come over to visit. It's like a family visit when you come over and sit down. We get to chat about families and also connect on our mutual background too.
Sure.
Whenever we play Lutheran bingo and all the people that
all
we know.
Yeah.
Well, it's so nice to have you here. How are things going at Family Shield?
Very good. Very good. We're doing what we can, you know, and God opens and closes doors, so we're doing well.
For our listeners not familiar with Family Shield, tell us a little bit about the history of Family Shield, what you do with Family Shield, and you have a radio program for that as well.
We do. Well, it started out of my work in evangelism and education at Ascension Lutheran Church way back in 1981, but we didn't become a nonprofit organization till 1994. So when we became a nonprofit, we became a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we do numerous things to reach out with the gospel beyond the walls of the church and also to educate Christians. We have our weekly radio program that's heard on 53 stations around the country. We have educational programs on nurturing children in the home and helping families learn how to share their faith in the home and beyond. A lot of educational programs that we do. And we answer lots of calls and questions from people. Probably the most common is, I raised my child in the church, but now they no longer go to church. What do I do? And prayer is just a vital part of our ministry as well. So we deal with about 6,000 people that call us asking questions, wanting resources. We connect people to resources beyond Family Shield. We have recommended links. And certainly at the core of that is helping parents and grandparents nurture children in the home.
So tell me about how tradition plays a role in all of this. How does tradition play a role in your family, in the Meyer family?
Well, you know, as I knew this was coming, I keep a file on all kinds of topics, and I have a long file on tradition. Some are traditions from our home, some from other people that have shared things. But my mom was a great family gatherer and had us over every couple weeks for dinner, the extended family. But I was thinking today of one of the stories she told me. Traditions change over the years, depending on the age of your kids. But one of the traditions she told us they did, and I don't think anybody does this anymore, is that they would decorate the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve night. So when we woke up, or when she woke up as a single little, she was the only child in her home, the Christmas tree was up on Christmas morning. Now, I don't know that anybody does that anymore. It sounds great, but with the busy season and how many people are busy, and moms and dads are often both working today, I don't think anybody waits till Christmas Eve to put up their Christmas tree. Maybe they do.
There might be a few.
But I think it's more because they didn't get it done than than just to surprise the children, the wide-eyed, oh, the beautiful Christmas tree on Christmas morning. But so we have great traditions, our own personal traditions from our family, going back to the time I was a child. But one of my favorite traditions, and one of the reasons we do traditions, is because we want our children to know who we are and whose they are. So it's both Christian traditions that bring us back to our knowledge of Christ and what he has done for us, but also that traditions aren't bad. They're good to do. They help children and us know who we are. But one of the things I was remembering as I was thinking about traditions that I enjoyed so much was we used to, at Ascension, we used to go together with other members and their extended families Christmas caroling around the neighborhood. And that was just a fun time, fellowship, getting acquainted with new members. Our kids would run back and forth with new friends. And that was just one of the favorite things. I have a whole list of of things that we've done. But traditions do change. You have a young child. I have grown children and now grandchildren mm-hmm. that are getting older. So it doesn't always stay the same. Sometimes they come back, though. Like, I just had our grandchildren over to make Christmas cookies, and that was fun to
now,
do.
Tell me about were there influences from your background, from, you know, previous generations in your family? Were there any influences in the Christmas cookie baking? I know
absolutely.
In our household, you know, bringing back some recipes from previous generations for Christmas cookies.
Yeah. My mother was a big cooker and baker, and she would make, I don't know how many cookies she made. Now, none of my sisters like to cook and or bake. And so for Christmas Eve, we still gather together with our extended family. It's my job to make the cookies. and it's really hard. I don't make as many, but mm-hmm. they are all my mom's recipe. I was just in my mom's cookbook. She made a cookbook for each of us way back when it was where you make the carbon copies, and they're hard to read. I have to retype most of them. But
what's your favorite cookie?
Oh my gosh! I love her double chocolate chip cookie. But the pecan puffs are good too. And and then there's just so many of them. It's hard to know. But I only make about four or so for my sister's home because my husband's not supposed to eat a lot of those cookies anymore.
Me either.
And if they're in the house, we eat them. So, yeah, but those are fun. Those are fun times. And one of the things when we're doing traditions, we aren't in a vacuum. We are talking to our children and our grandchildren and their children. We are having a good time. We are laughing. We are having fun. If you took all the conversation out of traditions, there wouldn't be any reason to do them.
So what are some of the things that you and the grandchildren talked about while baking cookies this year?
Good question. Well, my youngest grandson is Luke, and he's 8. And I laughed because he made one cookie and he decorated it for a long time and then he was done. But he talked from the time he walked into our home until he left. And they just moved here. My son-in-law is at Concordia Seminary. So they just moved back to St. Louis a little over. He's in the second year of SEM. But Luke doesn't make attachments really quickly. He's slow to get acquainted with new people. And so it took him a while to warm up to us. He sees us a lot, but that day, and it was just a couple weeks ago, he was having the best time talking to my husband and I about things he liked. And a lot of times it's a computer game or something mm-hmm. new that he's doing, or his friend and his friend's dog. And so just listening. I mean, my husband said one time I turned away to do something and he pulled my head back because he wanted to know that I was still engaged and listening to him. So a lot of times I'm just finding out what they like, what they did at school. Just enjoying getting acquainted with them because being a grandma from long distance, which is what we had before, they were in Texas, we were here, it was very difficult. I know now Lizzie loves to sew and I know what they're doing and a little bit more about their friends. And it's just, you see them so much more and it's such a blessing to see them growing up.
To be able to have those conversations and be more familiar, that's something, that's a gift that not every grandparent gets to be that close and be able to really dig deep into that personality and learn more about
who they
each
are,
child, sure,
and what they love, and just knowing that they know that you care about them, you mm-hmm. love them, and you're there for them, And I think that's some of the things that we get to do when we have traditions. Traditions should be things everybody loves, but they're not always. Sometimes Dad's saying, oh no, we have to go cut down another Christmas tree. When are we going to stop this? And we did that cutting down Christmas trees when our children were little, But now we don't because they're older and it's so much easier to just put one together. But
I don't know. Have you seen some of the trees that you try to put together?
Well,
sometimes
yeah,
a real one might have been easier.
Right. But some of those traditions do change, like I said. And it's great to have them. It's great to have the time. It's great as we talk about traditions about Christ with our children. You know, we always read the Christmas story, usually from a children's book to them. At home, we tried to do regular devotions, not every day. Nobody can do those usually in the busy schedule. But especially during Advent, we had the little wreath with candles, and the kids loved doing those devotions. Usually they really enjoyed them. I can remember sometimes when we did Bible charades where they wouldn't want to stop, and it was just... they were fun to do, but they were also educational because we would talk about, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? That it made those stories in the Bible really come alive for them as they acted out some of those things.
They were able to grasp more of the
what it means to be a believer in Jesus and helping them.
In our household, we... this year, we're using the Advent wreath at dinner time. Our family devotions are right before bed, but the Advent wreath at dinner time, and we light the candles, and our son looks forward to singing O Come, Emmanuel, or O Come, Uel, as he calls it. and that's been a great tradition and something that we wanted to do in the past, and we've done a little bit, but this year it's really taken hold, it's taken root, and he likes having the responsibility of extinguishing the candles.
Oh, he blows
when it's,
them out.
Yeah, he blows them out when we're done. So he really likes that. He has some responsibility in it and looks forward to it. But he also likes singing, and he looks forward to singing that hymn each night as well during Advent.
And helping them learn to memorize some of those songs and the words.
Absolutely.
And they're always so cute because they don't always say it right. And then you just get such a kick out of that.
Yes, it's become O Come, Uel.
O Come, Uel.
But he looks forward to that. It's become a tradition. Sometimes we think that repetition, we overlook the value of repetition and think that it's boring, but not for a little guy like that,
no,
for a three-year-old.
That's how they learn.
Yeah, he likes that repetition. And that's why our devotions, you know, our evening, our bedtime prayers are repetition every night as well. And that's now a tradition in our household. Mm-hmm. What if if your family had a tradition, maybe you had a tradition as a child and that didn't seem to carry on. What if you think, oh, this might be something, it might be nice that I'd love for us to have this again as a family tradition or something for us to do as a family again that we haven't done in a long time. Have you ever had any traditions like that?
Because I know sometimes, I mean, when you have little ones, you do certain things. And then when they get to be youth, they turn their nose up. I mean, traditions are supposed to be something everyone loves. And a lot of times they maybe for a while go out of style. But the children, when you have grandchildren, then many of those traditions come back and are dearly loved. And we have our daughter and son-in-law with the three grandchildren are doing many of the things that we did, but also new things. Corrine uses a Jesse tree, which I never did, and I find that really fascinating that they have the Jesse tree, which is about the Bible and all the different parts of the Bible. And
each piece, each decoration that they put on it has teaches us something from the Bible or is associated with something from this biblical story.
Right.
Going back to the prophecies.
Yeah. I have a manger scene that my husband's dad made. It's made out of wood. It's not fancy, but it's one of the first things that we always put up. And then the little... people that the kids can play with. And of course, when they got bigger, they didn't play with them. But then when we had the younger grandchildren, they were back over playing and acting out and seeing the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And it has the three wise men as well. And those are just so wonderful to again see some of those things being used, because I told my husband, that's, you know, it may not look fancy, but your dad made it. It's very special.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we've been doing when we see a nativity scene somewhere. We'll use that as a teaching moment and ask, what is that? Who does that look like? Mm-hmm. Who might that be about? And, and ask, and he'll usually answer. At least he gets the baby Jesus right. The others, we're still working on that.
Sure. He's little. Yeah. Yeah. It's really fun to see the different traditions. Of course, the tradition of regularly going to Advent services and mm-hmm. church with our family, with our extended family. We've always done that. And I grew up in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and it's something that our family always did. Luckily, I married somebody at college, not a Lutheran college, who was also raised in the LCMS, and his mom and dad and his grandma were raised in the Lutheran Church. So we have a long line of of those that understood what it meant to be a believer in Jesus and that birth of Christ and how important it is mm-hmm. that we help our children in today's world, especially, Andy. You know, this is a challenging world that we live in with so many people that are turning their backs on the Lord in our world, even here in the United States. And we have more work to do to help encourage and equip them.
Now, you brought up a good point that you married someone who came from the same church, same confession of faith. So you probably had some similar traditions. But when a couple marries, you bring in those traditions from your family of origin. Some might be similar, some might be different. You mentioned earlier that your mom's tradition was that the Christmas tree goes up on Christmas Eve. And I would imagine that stems from, you know, the church year, that during Advent, we observe Advent. During Christmas, we observe Christmas. And so Christmas begins on the Nativity, December 24th, you know, that evening. And then the tree goes up, and then we have through Epiphany, January 6th. So the tree is up for what, about a week.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate Christmas during that time. How do you work that out when you have a couple that comes with two different traditions into the family? That can present some challenges. Sometimes traditions can get lost in that too.
Well, that's true too. Sometimes you add new ones. Mm-hmm. I know Chad's mom and dad, very similar background and faith. And my mom and dad loved his parents, so we all got together on the holiday, which very few families mm-hmm. get to do. You usually have to go to this house and then that house, and we did that as well. But wonderful food. We had great cooks in our family, which my husband is always so thankful for, and he goes, and you're pretty good too, Kay. But he's a good cook as well. So, it can definitely be challenging. Now, I know some families celebrate Christmas and the Christ, you know, that and Jesus Christ who was born on Christmas. Some families also have Santa Claus, and mm-hmm. they, you know, they take the kids to sit on Santa Claus' lap, and some of those things that really aren't connected to our faith in Christ. And some families don't. Now, I not my husband and I, but another member of our family, there were some real challenges when they melded together as a family and had children, because his parents did not allow any of that Santa Claus stuff. And her family did. And I think they finally worked it out. But those can be challenging things, because you really have to communicate with your spouse and figure out, are we going to keep this as a tradition or not? And sometimes there's a little bit of time to deal with it and figure out how you're going to allow it without making that the focus of Christmas.
And that's the challenge. How do your traditions keep that true message of Christ and Christmas as the main thing that's happening at Christmas? Right. There are many traditions that can occur around that can support it, but how do we ensure that the main message that's happening in all of that is that who Christ is and what he has done as he comes to us in the Nativity, you know, as we see in the Nativity, that he's come to us in this form of a child, an infant.
I have a favorite ornament. It was my mom's before ours, and it's Santa Claus kneeling at the manger.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we would make a little devotion out of that, you know, that Christ is our Savior, our Messiah. He came to live this life we can't live perfectly, suffer and die for our sins. And, you know, we visit Santa Claus, but he is not the same as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He worships Jesus because Jesus suffered and died for him as well. I think you can buy those kind of little ornaments.
I've seen them.
Mm-hmm. I really like it because of that. And I think that it's important that our children, when they're old enough to understand, if we allow them to sit on Santa's lap and see Santa and some of the stories about those type of things that come into our Christmas season, that they understand that Jesus is our Savior. And that's why we celebrate Christmas.
And it's that very message gets lost in a lot of the pop culture when it comes to Christmas and the holiday season and Santa Claus and those things in pop culture. When we look at the real history of Saint Nicholas, it's a quite a bit different story than what we see in much of the pop culture. So.
Absolutely. I was looking at the news, and the one a little town that had to take the cross off the top of the tree because one person complained and filed some kind of a lawsuit. What a shame. It was on Fox News. What a shame that we can't leave a cross on the Christmas tree. And I said, my husband just had a conversation with some Amish people that are near our farm. We have a farm in Bowling Green. And he asked the Amish, do you celebrate Christmas? Do you have Santa? And they said, no, nothing, you know. So, but I said to him, well, Jesus died on a cross, so the Christmas tree, you can make some great connections for that
mm-hmm.
to Christ.
Sure, reminding, well, the connection between a tree and the tree on which our Savior, our Lord and Savior hung, too.
And that he is the light of the world, and that's why we can light up the tree, yeah.
Well, traditions certainly can play an important role in family life, and certainly in nurturing the faith, many of the examples that you've given today, traditions that will be carried on this year, this Christmas for the Meyer family. What are some of the traditions that are coming up around with just about a minute and a half left?
Yeah, well, of course, we always go to church. We go to church together,
mm-hmm.
and we wait until after church to open any presents. Just a lot of good food and fellowship. But we go to my sister's with the extended family on Christmas Eve and have lasagna. That was a tradition my mom started. She had us over for Christmas Day, so there was a big meal on Christmas Day, but lasagna was Christmas Eve. My sister has continued that, and the kids go out and look at the lights after we eat and then come back, and just great fellowship time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Lasagna sounds great right about now.
It is good, yeah.
we do have a lot of traditions in our family, too, but they've changed over time as the generations have grown and changed and expanded and also retired from some of their Christmas responsibilities. We've gone from the big Christmas Eve dinner with all kinds of entrees to now a soup and salad buffet that each person brings a different soup or some appetizers for the buffet on Christmas Eve, and that's been a lot of fun, too. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how quickly you fill up on soup because you also have bread and things like that with it. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun tradition for our family. Kay, thank you so much for coming over and sharing about traditions for families,
well,
the importance of them and what role they play in families. Kay Meyer, founder and president of Family Shield Ministries. And find out more about Family Shield Ministries at
www.familyshieldministries.com.
Thanks, Kay.
Website. Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.